Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Church online, so great to have you joining us today. Come on, why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes as I pray for every person that is faithful and obedient to give their tithes today. Come on, why don't you bow your heads? Father, we just thank you so much for every person that is giving today online. Come on, why don't you just take your phone or your device if you're giving via that today. Come on, Father, I pray, Lord God, that even right now in these uncertain times, we thank you, Lord God, that the blood is on the door for every single person, Lord God, who is giving. I pray, Father God, there'll be such divine protection over every bank account, Lord God, of every person in our church. I pray, Lord God, that in these uncertain times, every single person within the sound of my voice hearing me pray right now will be divinely protected in the area of their finances as they're faithful and obedient, Lord God, to sow into your kingdom right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we continue, Lord, to pray against this virus. Lord God, we thank you that it has no place around the world. Lord God, we just pray right now that this virus will die right now in Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray for divine healing and divine health for every single person at Nations Church and watching this online right now in Jesus' name. We pray for every nation that is being affected by this disease. Father God, I pray for complete healing. Lord, we thank you that your blood has washed over every single nation in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, isn't that great that we get to gather online? And you know what is traditionally been the internet that is being used for so much evil, we just are so grateful that God is going to turn it for good. And even in the last week or so, we just know that the internet has been used to spread the gospel in unprecedented ways. Even here at Church Online and Nations Church, we've had people join us from the US, the UK, from the Philippines, from Singapore, from Brazil, from all over the world, really, and of course from Malaysia as well as Australia and all over Australia. And we've had someone write in from Darwin, actually, and it says this: the last Sunday, we thank you so much for Church Online that my son was able to watch from Darwin as he missed it so much since moving up here. Also, it would be great if you could continue the online services after the crisis is over, because did you notice all those people from all over the world joining in? This could be the best thing that could have happened to the church. Its message will spread further. And that was from Sarah, dialing in and tuning in from Darwin. And, you know, we're just so grateful to God for technology. And church, now is the time for you to get connected online more than ever before. Follow at Nations Church. Follow my Instagram account at KenleyNC. And this is not a grab for more Insta followers. You can unfollow me at the end of this crazy madness. But I want to stay connected with you. I want to be able to journey with you in this time. So now is not the time to be disconnected. Even though we are distant from each other, we don't have to be disconnected. Amen. So come on, why don't we go Bible today? Why don't we read the Bible? It says here in Matthew chapter 3, we're going to read two passages of scripture, Matthew 3 and Matthew 17. And it says here, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The second passage we're going to read is Matthew 17. It says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear him.'" Two extraordinary passages of scripture. But before I get into the message today, I want you to know that Easter is coming, and we are going to be streaming online our Easter services. We're going to be streaming a Good Friday communion service as well as an Easter Sunday service. So make sure that you check out nationschurch.com/Easter. There'll also be digital invites available for you to invite people to come online to participate with us on the Easter weekend. But here in Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 17, we see two conversations that God has with Jesus. The Gospels were a time in human history where Jesus, who was fully God, walked on the earth as man. And so it was a very unique time in human history. And of all the things that the gospel writers could have recorded of the Father speaking to the Son, and we know that God the Father had many conversations with God the Son and vice versa, but the only two that were recorded and quoted of the Father speaking to the Son were here in the baptism in Jordan in Matthew 3, as well as the Mount of Transfiguration conversation in Matthew chapter 17. And out of all of the conversations that the Father could have had with the Son, he has a conversation that essentially is encapsulated and summed up in one word. And that is that word encouragement. Out of all the things the Father could have talked to the Son about, he encouraged the Son. And so today, I want to speak to you on awakening to the power of encouragement. There has never been a more critical time in human history where the church needs to be encouraged as well as to be an encouragement to our world. And for encouragement to have been the only recorded conversation between the Father and the Son, there had to have been a particular power, a powerful truth that the Father wanted to convey to us today. And if there's anything that we want to start off with today as a platform to launch from, and it's this: every single human being, you need encouragement, and you also need to be an encouragement to others. Out of all the things the Holy Spirit divinely inspired the gospel writers to record that the Father said to the Son, it was on these three fronts. He firstly said, "You are my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." In other words, he talks to Jesus about being his Son. That was acknowledgement. The second thing that the Father spoke to the Son about was love, and that he assured him that he loved him. And thirdly, the Father said, "I am pleased with you." It is that whole thing of affirmation. I genuinely believe that every single human being, and Jesus modeled this, that every single human being needs to hear and needs to say to somebody else these three areas of encouragement. In other words, I acknowledge you. In other words, I see you. I notice you, that you matter to me. And secondly, every human soul needs to hear that they are loved, that they're cared for. And thirdly, every human soul needs to be affirmed. In other words, we need to hear that you're doing a great job. You're going to come through this, that you're going to be okay, that you're cut out for this. Don't give up. And I believe that every single human needs to hear these words of encouragement in the area of acknowledgement, in the area of love, and the area of affirmation. Jesus modeled this by hearing these words from the Father. In a persecuted, scattered church context, Paul writes this to the church in Thessalonica. He says this in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that you should already be encouraging each other. I'm just encouraging you to keep going in encouraging, keep going in acknowledging each other, keep going in loving each other, keep going in affirming each other. Do you know what I reckon is more infectious than COVID-19? I reckon encouragement is more infectious than COVID-19. Come on. You know, the fact that we're socially distancing and that we're watching this online is because viruses like COVID-19 can't spread through the internet. But I tell you what, encouragement can spread through the internet. We, in fact, are in a global pandemic for this virus, but I reckon the church needs to create a global pandemic of encouragement. The church can encourage each other through text messages and through Zoom and through FaceTime and direct messaging. Encouragement can go more viral than coronavirus. See, the world can't stop the church from being encouraged and to be an encouragement, even at this time. Let me drill a little bit deeper and unpack this a little bit more for you. The most powerful form of personal encouragement that you can have is actually something called forensic encouragement. Forensic encouragement is actually encouraging people with encouragement that is specific to them. Because every single one of us can walk around and just, you know, text someone and says, "Oh, you're awesome," or "You're such a legend," or "You're amazing." And we can say that to everybody. But it's not really all that powerful. Forensic encouragement is encouragement that we give to someone that is specific only to them. And it's incredibly powerful. You know, through the screen right now, I want to encourage Miriam Ward from our Cork campus. Mim, you know, you are an incredible woman of God and incredibly courageous. A few months ago, you uprooted your whole life in Australia to move to a foreign country. And out of a very difficult time for us to plant this Cork campus, you have toughed it out. You have grown so much. We love you so much. And we can see that God is going to do something incredible in your life, and you're going to bring revival to the nation of Ireland. To Joshua Dunlap, you know, Phnom Penh campus. Bro, it was so good to meet you when I was there last month, and we're so grateful for you and Susie that when you took up Connect Leadership, you really became a pillar to support our campus pastors up there. And there's a gift of preaching on your life. You need to know that you're called, that you're anointed, that God loves you so much, and we love you so much, and I can't wait to see you again. And to Min Chi from our Myrie campus, it was such a privilege to pray for you on FaceTime just this week. Min, I know that you haven't been at church since November because of the treatment that you've been going through, but I can't wait for when church reopens again and we can gather again, and that this wretched disease is cast out of your body, that you no longer have to have that treatment, that I get to give you a big hug. I can't wait for your beautiful hair to grow again, because I know that you're so sick of having the same haircut as your pastor, as you told me on the screen. But we love you so much. See how the atmosphere just changed when forensic encouragement was given. There's something very powerful about forensic encouragement. And today, I want to encourage you, don't just acknowledge and love and affirm in a general manner, but do so forensically. You know why I think encouragement is so powerful and why we need to awaken to the power of encouragement? Is that encouragement restores perspective to us. In a season of great discouragement, the power of encouragement restores perspective to us. See, discouragement happens when circumstances that have not turned out the way that we hoped it would brings us down. And it's often an issue, a crisis, or a situation that is adverse. And say for example, this pen is a situation or a circumstance that is adverse, and it discourages us. And after a while, in the absence of encouragement, all we start to see is this issue that is discouraging us. And there could be a lot of good things happening around us, but all that we see is just discouragement. But when someone comes to acknowledge us, when someone comes to tell us that we're loved, and when someone comes to tell us, to affirm us, suddenly that thing that has been so in the forefront of our hearts and minds starts to be in its rightful place again, and perspective is restored. See, ultimately, discouragement to a believer is skewed or perverted perspective. And so what encouragement does to discouragement is that it restores us back to see God again in every situation. Can I get a resounding amen from you? And you know what? Encouragement is particularly powerful when you awaken to it in isolation. Because in isolation is actually when we need encouragement the most. In the book of Judges chapter 6, we see a guy by the name of Gideon. Now, Gideon was in what we would consider level 4 lockdown. His nation was in crisis. They were actually at war, and he was in hiding. He was all by himself. He was discouraged. He was afraid, and he was just trying to survive. He was, in fact, threshing wheat in a wine press. In other words, he was doing something that no one expected him to be doing in a place that was very unlikely. He was threshing wheat in a wine press. And when God comes to this man who was in isolation, he was lonely, and he was discouraged, God gives him encouragement. It says this in verse 12. God speaks through an angel and says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. This is the voice of discouragement coming back. He says, "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why have we got coronavirus? Why are we in shutdown? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, second word of encouragement, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord." Here's that voice of discouragement again, Gideon replied. "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. We all are immunocompromised. We all have weak respiratory systems, and I am the least in my family." But the Lord answered, "I will be with you." Here's another word of encouragement. "And you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. So he was insecure and afraid. The Lord said, I will wait until you return. Just affirms him. Judges 6, verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So God met Gideon in his place of isolation and spoke encouragement into his heart. And from there, he went from a loner, afraid in level 4 lockdown kind of situations to become a champion warrior for Israel. I believe that never before has this been more appropriate. That many of you are feeling isolated, you're feeling lonely, but God is going to encourage your heart. And out of this season, you're going to come out of that and you're going to lead many people to Jesus. You're going to see many miracles come out of your life. God, whatever you think has been an adverse situation for you, listen to me today, God is going to turn that around and let that be an encouragement into your soul today, because it's when you're alone that God actually wants to encourage you the most. The narrative of Gideon's life in Judges chapter 6 is that your loneliness, your sense of being alone, your isolation is what's going to attract God's acknowledgement, his love, and his affirmation for you. Can I get a resounding amen wherever you're watching this? Let me unpack this for you even a little bit more. Even more than the encouragement that God will give you and speak into your heart, the Bible also gives us an incredible gift, and that gift is the gift of self-encouragement. It's actually biblical to encourage yourself. Self-encouragement is a believer's gift to themselves that you have access to by the grace of God. The Bible talks of David, and when we read 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was not king yet, but he was a captain of the army under Saul's reign. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David and his men had just been absolutely pantsed in battle by the Amalekites. The Amalekites had absolutely defeated them, and they'd taken David's wife and his children, and they'd taken his soldiers' wives and their children captive. And so he was in this place, he was feeling incredibly lonely. His own soldiers were mad at him. And it says this in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people talked of stoning him. Now, you know you're in big trouble as a leader when your own people want to stone you, right? But it says, because all the people were bitter in spirit, each over his own sons and daughters. And it says this in 1 Samuel 30, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Even more than God encouraging your heart, you also need to know that you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You have the Bible, you have the Holy Spirit, you have all manner of being able to communicate with God. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Church, self-encouragement is simply reminding yourself, that constant reminder to yourself of who you are in Christ and who you've become because you're a Christian. Paul, when he was in isolation, chained to a wall, he said these words in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Wherever you are watching this all over the world right now, if you're feeling discouraged, you need to know that God wants to encourage you. But more than that, you can also encourage yourself in the Lord. Can I get an amen? The reason why being encouraged by God and then also encouraging yourself and awakening that power of encouragement in your soul is so important is because for you to be an encourager, you need to be encouraged, because you can only give away from yourself out of what you have. You can't give what you don't have. And now more than ever, the church, every believer needs to be in encouragement surplus at a time where there is so much discouragement, at a time where the news is incredibly discouraging. The church needs to be the ones that stand up with an encouragement surplus in a season where the world is in an encouragement deficit. Paul showed this in the New Testament, that you can be in prison and still be in an encouragement surplus. David showed that you could be on the run hiding in a cave or have your men turn against you, but you can still be in an encouragement surplus. Gideon showed that you could be in a level 4 lockdown. If you're listening to this and you're in a country that that's the case for you and you can't get out of your house, Gideon showed that you could be alone and distressed and you still be in an encouragement surplus, because God wants every believer to be encouraged so that in their world, in their time, and in this season, they can be an encouragement to others. Can I get a resounding amen? It doesn't, your situation does not disqualify you from being an encourager. And I don't know about you, but I genuinely believe that the Spirit of God is constantly looking for hearts to encourage, because that is the mandate of the gospel. The gospel lifts. The gospel encourages the discouraged. And church, if there's anything that I want to be known for in this season, I want to be known as an encourager. I think never before does the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be known as the voice of encouragement in a season of great discouragement. The book of Acts obviously accounts for the early church. And the early church, if you read the book of Acts, you shouldn't read it through the lens of the modern comfortable church. The book of Acts was really birthed at a time where Christians and gatherings were persecuted. And as the church gathered, the more they gathered, the more the authorities scattered them. And in a season of scattering because of persecution, and you need to understand these persecutions were very serious. Christians were being killed in city squares. They were being beheaded and fed to lions and being imprisoned and separated from their families. Their issues were far greater than just having to homeschool our kids for a few weeks. Hello. And this season of persecution, the church was incredibly distressed and discouraged. And it says here, now those, in verse 19 of Acts 11, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen. So Stephen was the church leader that was stoned to death. So they were scattered. They traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Verse 22, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So at a season of great distress, their leader Stephen was just stoned to death. They were scattered. They were afraid. The church in Jerusalem didn't send to the scattered church their greatest theologian. They didn't send to them a PhD student. They didn't send to them their greatest Insta celebrity. They didn't send to them their most beautiful beauty queen. They didn't send to them the smartest person they know. Who did they send? They sent a guy by the name of Joseph. But we don't know him by Joseph, which was his real name. We know him as Barnabas. Bar, son of Nabas, encouragement. They sent an encourager when the church was scattered. And you also need to know that, and you know, when the world feels scattered and isolated, God wants to send encouragers. This is what you also need to understand. It says here that a great many people were added to the Lord. I don't know if you're putting two and two together, but revival came to the scattered church because the church in Jerusalem sent an encourager. I genuinely believe that as the world begins to go more and more into a state of discouragement, there is going to be a move of God that's going to come because the Church of Jesus Christ decides to be the Barnabas Church, that we're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, that we're going to speak life where there has been death, that we're going to encourage people where they feel discouraged. And so if there's anything that I want to leave you with today, it's this. Choose to be the man or woman that is the first person people send when discouraged people need encouraging. Come on, you choose to be that man or that woman that people think of. Oh, I'm gonna get that person to FaceTime that person because they're feeling really down at the moment. Oh, I'm gonna text that person to touch base and give a phone call to that person because they're feeling really down and depressed right now. They've just lost their job. Choose to be that man or woman that people think of, the first person they think of to send when discouraged people need an encouragement, because we all know someone who's incredibly encouraging. They just breathe life where there's areas of death in our lives. They just speak life to us. And we also know that one person that is always discouraging. You know what I'm saying? Like if you keep talking to them, you generally believe that you're going to die by April 2020. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh my gosh, there's like the doomsday preppers type people. It's like the whole world, it's the end of the world. Don't be that man and don't be that woman, because the world doesn't need that. The world needs a Barnabas church to awaken. I want to speak to influential people through the screen right now. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're a leader in your community. Maybe you're a leader in your church. Maybe you are someone who mentors others. You need to understand that the who, W-H-O, who does the encouraging matters. If you're a person of influence, you cannot delegate encouragement that should come out of your mouth to the people that you have influence over. It feels nice when we're encouraged by our peers, but there's something very powerful when someone who we look up to, who has influence over us, forensically encourages us. They acknowledge us, they tell us that we're loved, and they affirm us. So don't you delegate the power of encouragement to somebody else. It belongs in your mouth. You be the Barnabas in your home while you're in isolation right now. You be the Barnabas to your street. You be the Barnabas to your community. You be the Barnabas online right now. Don't you delegate the power of encouragement. Let it awaken in you. Let God encourage you. May you encourage yourself in the Lord, and may you be an encourager to others. Can I get a resounding amen? You know, let me land this. If you were to follow the trail of crumbs of what I've been teaching, it will be apparent to you as you begin to read even the life of Barnabas, that he was a man full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, that encouragement is actually the doorway to the use of prophetic gifts. When you awaken to encouragement, it starts off as a natural principle that the Bible teaches us. But when you steward it and practice it enough, before you know it, you start walking through the doorway into the prophetic. What starts off as naturally acknowledging someone and telling them you love them and affirming them, as you begin to steward this power of encouragement, I believe this is what happened with Barnabas. He stepped into the prophetic and began to speak the words of God that brought life to a scattered church. You begin to see that the Holy Spirit begins to light up in you. You begin to feel like God is giving you specific, forensic, prophetic encouragement for people. Even some of you right now, you're feeling a change in the atmosphere in wherever that you're watching this. You're feeling a sense of God being stirred on the inside of you. Names are popping into your heart. Different phrases, different pictures for different people. You're even beginning to see some things for your own life and members in your own family. As you awaken to the power of encouragement, you actually awaken to the power of prophetic encouragement. Romans chapter 12, verse 8 actually says that encouragement is a spiritual gift. It is a gift that it may be dormant in you right now, but I genuinely believe that if you're a believer, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not that you don't have the gift of encouragement. You just need to be awakened to it. And right now, the Spirit of God is doing something very powerful in your life. I feel a sense, I feel a change right now in the atmosphere. Come on, why don't you begin to just close your eyes and bow your heads. And if you're okay with this right now, just come on, begin to just switch atmospheres and don't switch off. This is not the time. We're coming into a very important part of this stream right now. I'm generally feeling that if you're here and watching this and you feel incredibly discouraged and you feel low because of what's going on around you and you feel disconnected to God, or maybe you've never had the reality of God in your life. You've never had Jesus living on the inside of you, or maybe right now you feel far from Him. You've walked away from Him. You've maybe lost your faith. I'm going to lead you in prayer right now, because the only person who can genuinely fill your heart with true encouragement when you don't have it is Jesus. The gospel lifts. The gospel will fill your life with courage again. It will restore perspective to you that maybe you've never even had. That God loves you, that He cares for you, that He sees you, that you matter, that you are significant, that you have purpose. And so come on, would you repeat after me? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You that You're real. And Lord Jesus, we ask that You come into our lives as our personal Lord and Savior. And Lord Jesus, we ask that You forgive us of all of our sins, that You would wash away all of our past and make us a new creation in You. And Lord Jesus, we thank You that from now on, we don't have to live with discouragement in our hearts. But Jesus, because you live in us, we are encouraged and can be an encouragement to our world. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, you need to know that you are in the family of God. And I just pray that this will be the beginning of an exciting journey for you. Go to nationschurch.com and click on I Have Decided. There's a button there or an icon there that you can click on, because we want to journey with you. We want to send a Bible to you. We want to continue to pray for you. So don't say this prayer in private and just let it go. Make sure you tell us about it so we can lead you and pastor you through this. Is that okay? Come on, everybody else, would you, if it's appropriate for you, wherever you're watching this, would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet? Because I believe that God is going to do something. Don't switch off. Don't go turn on the kettle and you know, go tend to your kids, because now's not the time. God wants to minister to you right now. I believe that as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, there's someone watching right now. And the enemy's actually tried to attack you in the trifecta of your life. The enemy's attacked you in the area of your finances. And the enemy's also attacked you in the area of your family or relational world. And the enemy's also attacked you in the area of your health. And like all of these three things have conspired to weigh you down, right? And I think right now it's fair to say that you're at the lowest point in your life. If that's you, wherever you're watching this, begin to lift your hands. You need to know that God sees you, that He loves you. This is not the end. It is just a little speed hump in the journey of your life, that God is coming into your room right now and He is lifting you up. Encouragement is filling your life right now. You may feel like the world has forgotten you, but God sees you. God is on your case and your case is not closed. Right now in Jesus' name, Father, I pray for that person right now. If that is you, begin to receive it. The second person I feel right now that is listening to the sound of my voice, if you're here and watching this, you feel like you're a failure right now because of certain adverse circumstances. And it's like this discouragement has skewed your perspective. It's like that whole thing of the pen. That's all you can see is right in front of your face. Maybe you had high hopes and big dreams and you thought that you would be further ahead or far more progressed in your stage of life than you currently are right now, and you feel discouraged. And I hear the private conversations. I was praying for you today. I hear the private conversations is, God, what's the use of all of this? How can I keep going on? I want you to know today that courage is returning into your heart, that God is eradicating discouragement out of your life right now. And God is changing and turning that thing that has been a discouragement in your life right now to an encouragement. And you need to know that whatever the enemy has meant for evil, God is going to turn it for good. God is going to reverse the curse that you've been struggling against right now. And even yet, there's some people I know that are watching through this right now, and you're actually having to be self-isolating or being in a house or in a home with an incredibly negative, discouraging, pessimistic person. And you're saying, God, this is so hard. I'm just going to pray for you right now that there is going to be a grace for you to be a Barnabas to your home. You are the ones that's going to change the atmosphere in your house right now. And I know that discouraging person may be incredibly damaging in your life, but you need to know right now that the power of encouragement will destroy that power of discouragement as you awaken to it right now. In fact, everybody lift your hands. Everybody lift your hands. Everybody lift your hands. If you're watching this, you're saying, God, make me that Barnabas man. Make me that Barnabas woman. May it be said of me that I am a son or a daughter of an encourager. May it be said of me. May I be that man or woman that is being sent right now to encourage somebody in Jesus' name. In fact, we're going to sing in just a moment. But right now, wherever you are, if you've received that prayer, why don't you take out your mobile phone? Why don't you now begin to text somebody forensic, prophetic encouragement? Do it right now. Do it right now. Maybe you need to comment on the screen a prophetic, forensic encouragement. Even right now, God is giving you names. God is giving you different phrases, different words right now. You begin to minister online to somebody as your heart is being encouraged. You become an encourager. Do it right now. Come on, do it right now. Let the prophetic flow right now through the screen, wherever you're watching this, all over the world. Encourage someone on the other side of the globe. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. As we begin to sing, let the words flow on text right now. Come on. Direct message someone. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you sing.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.